let's start actually discuss today about today, which is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. We just mentioned today is Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So today's Torah and Tea, instead of discussing the Parsha, let's discuss a little bit about Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Of course, we're also getting ready for Shavuos. And when you read in the story, the Chumash, about how the Jews prepared themselves for the giving of the Torah, so it actually all started with Rosh Chodesh. It started with Rosh Chodesh Sivan. What do we mean by started? The Jewish people came to Midbar Sinai, to the desert of Sinai, and camped in front of the mountain. So that means that this Rosh Chodesh is not only the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh, but it's also the beginning of Matan Torah, the beginning of the Torah giving, because that's when it started. So something interesting the Rebbe brings out over here, that it wasn't only a physical journey. Like the people journeyed from Egypt, so every day they journeyed to Har Sinai. But actually, it was actually a spiritual journey. It was a journey of great intensity. It was a journey of transformation. And the evidence is, we can start already with the actually very first day before they came to the Torah from Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So the first point that we find in the Torah, it says that Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neged Hohor. Yichan Yisrael says in a singular way, Vayichan. Normally, the plural for they camped, that they rested, or they stopped, would be Vayachanu. Nu, Vayachanu would be a plural, and they camped. Over here it says Vayichan Shom Yisrael. Over there it says Israel camped, but it uses a singular language. Why does it say in a singular language? So the Rebbe brings down from the Chumash, from the Rashi and the Gemara and the Chazal Midrashim, that says that something very special happened in that camp. Well, all the time, the Jewish people, when they were traveling, there was always discord, there was disagreements, there were different ideas, there were battles, there was struggles, there were people didn't get along. They didn't get along between themselves, and they didn't get along with Moshe Rabbeinu, and they were always complaining and fighting. But miraculously, when they came, on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when they came in front of the mountain, Vayichan, singular, it says, Ki ish echad, belev echad, like one person with one heart. This accomplishment, to be ki ish echad belev echad, is a great and a very profound accomplishment, which is an unnatural state of mind, because on a regular and a usual basis, people have different opinions, people have different ideas, and everybody has another way or another reason, another approach, another experience.
Day miracle.
Yeah, it is. The nice thing about if you can say, unfortunately, when tragedy hits, when people are in trouble, something unifying comes out, you know, when everything is is going well, you know, people, you know, do their own things, but sometimes it takes extreme kind of cases and episodes that happen in life to bring people together. In this particular case, it's coincident, you know, coincides with this, that what happened to her a year ago, while it was really scary. And, you know, sometimes they say, Eine Doime Ria Lishmia, to see is a lot more powerful than just to hear about it.
Mm.
When you hear, when somebody almost, God forbid, you know, lost their life, and then to be actually in the hospital and see a person under all kinds of machinery who's not, you know, not here is very, very different, very, very scary.
Not just a person, but your daughter, a young woman.
And you see it, but then you appreciate them. Mm. But so the silver lining, if you can say, of it came out is that there was a tremendous outpour of support, of unifying support from all over, from the whole community. So that's the ki ish echad b'leid echad that we're discussing. Now I need the phone here, please. Okay. That is the ki ish echad, the leiv echad that we're talking about, is that unifying thing. Well, the Rebbe explains it. It wasn't just that, okay, so people got along, but this was a very supernatural. It goes against the nature that everybody sort of, there's something deeper in the person that came out, something deeper in the person. You see, you have Moshe Rabbeinu on one hand, who is like the greatest giant spiritual level on one hand, and then you had a very simple person. Now, when we say ki ish echad, they were all like together, b'lev echad, with one heart. What does that really mean? How could people who are so far apart, who have so different levels, who are totally separate, seems like there's nothing that binds and connects them, how could they all be ki ish echad b'leiv echad, the simplest person together with Moshe Rabbeinu? How could it be ish echad b'leiv echad? Which actually we can also connect this idea, the Rebbe speaks elsewhere, with the parsha, which means counting. When you talk about counting, this we started the Torah portion, we started learning, is Bamidbar. Bamidbar is called the book Chumash HaPikudim, the book of counting. What is the unique things about counting? What is special about counting? When you count, or let's say we count for a minion, or when you count for a number, we're not looking, or like we say, one person, one vote. You could be an Einstein, and you're still going to have only one vote. And you can be just turn of age, of voting age, you have one vote. So you're both equal. You're both, even though, how could we say, this is Lahavdul, but how could we say, Moshe Rabbeinu, if you have 9 Moshe Rabbeinus, you can't have a minion. Mm-hmm. And if you have 10 kids that are bar mitzvah, you have a minion. So why? Because when you talk about a number, you're not talking about the achievements, the accomplishments. You're not talking about the levels of the person's intellect or the level of the person's emotional abilities or what achievements they have or how great they are. That's not what is important. At that point, we're talking about something deeper, something who they really are, something inside them which transcends their level of greatness, something you, which is the neshama, of course, of every person. You see, when you learn Torah, right? When you study the Torah, of course, a person who is very learned or who has a lot of experience and who has a deep understanding, we'll be able to understand the material on a much greater, a deeper level than somebody who has less experience, who doesn't know. So if a person is learning an intricate piece of Talmud, of the Kabbalah, and he's really knowledgeable and understands it well, and then you have a kid learning, you know, how to teach, to translate the words of the pasuk, of the verse, just to tell what Bereishis bara Elokim, that God created in the beginning, God created Shemayim va'aretz, a simple thing. So of course you're going to say that there is a big difference in their level of understanding what they get, what they grasp, what they understand from what they're learning. Someone, one understands very deeply, and the other one just scratches the surface.
Got wet.
But the interesting thing is...
No.
The interesting thing is that while they're achieving different levels of understanding, but they both make the same bracha. What is the bracha we say? Baruch Ato Hashem, we thank God who has given us the Torah. Notein HaTorah. Given us the Torah.
Or La'asok B'divrei.
Yeah, okay, good. That's the different version. That's true. And Chabad we say, Notein HaTorah. Some other people say La'asok B'divrei Torah. That's a different Ashkenazi version of the same bracha. But that's the same idea. And that is uniquely... that is the same for everybody. Everybody's in the... You see, when we study Torah, there's something more than just that we understand the Torah at our level. When we study Torah, we are actually connecting with Hashem. Through the Torah, Hashem invested himself in the Torah. That connection, the fact that Hashem nosein HaTorah, Hashem gave us the Torah. Baruch HaTorah, we make by the Aliyah, when somebody gets it, you say, Baruch HaTorah Hashem, notein HaTorah. What does it mean, God gave us the Torah? God gave us the Torah basically means that Hashem put himself into the Torah and gave it to us. The connection that we make to God is the same for everyone. The child that studies Torah and the great scholar that studied Torah. The level of achievement, the scholar is greater. But the level of connection, just that we connected with Hashem, makes no difference. We're all connecting in Hashem because Hashem is Notein HaTorah. Hashem gave us the Torah. He gave himself over into the Torah that we study. So we find Hashem over there. Very interesting, when you take a look in the Talmud, you know, it's very, you know, in the Haggadah, one of the pieces that we say, it seems a little bit strange. One of the, you know, the Dayenus, we say Dayenu, 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 would have been enough. One of them says, one of the Dayenus says, Ilu kervonu lifnei har Sinai, v'nolo notan lanu es haTorah. Had God brought us close to har Sinai and would not have given us the Torah. So the obvious question is, if he brought us to har Sinai, he just brought us to Mount Sinai. When did God bring us to Mount Sinai?
Was it a month?
Shchodesh Sivan.
Was it a month after we got out?
49 days, yeah. Uh-huh. That's when we got the actual Torah, but this wasn't quite 49 days. This was 44 days, 45 days. But the if Hashem would have brought us to Har Sinai, didn't give us the Torah on Har Sinai, we said, Dayenu, that would have been sufficient. But wait a minute, what do you mean, what would you do if we just brought you to Har Sinai, didn't give you the Torah, you wouldn't get anything. No. There's something very profound about this day. The level of unity, the level of something we accomplished just by coming at Har Sinai is something which was a very spiritual growth, The fact that we can all of us be ki ish echad b'leiv echad, we can be like one heart, one mind, that is very unique. So it's interesting. There's something about this day that is seemingly difficult to understand. The Talmud tells us every day what they did in order to prepare themselves for the Torah given. But it says on the first day they came on Rosh Chodesh, which was on the first day. And yes, there's a question whether it was a Sunday or it was a Monday. There's two opinions. Everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Shabbos, the Torah was given. But whether it was Shabbos was the seventh day, that means that Rosh Chodesh, that was on Sunday, or they came on Monday, which means Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, so that was the sixth day, that's a dispute between Rabbi Yosi and the Chachamim. That's a whole other discussion. But what did Hashem tell them on the second day of Sivan? So tomorrow, or tonight, Hashem told them the command that we should be a nation of priests. Basically, we should be special. We are going to be serving Hashem. On the third day, Hashem told us to stay away from the mountain. We shouldn't come close. We should have the limitation. On the fourth day, Hashem told the men and the women that they need to be separate to prepare themselves for the receiving of the Torah. On the fifth day of Sivan, he went and he built the altar and the carbon. The Jews said, Naseh v'nishma, we'll do and we will listen. But what happened on the first day? What happened on Rosh Chodesh? What happened today? The Gemara says Hashem didn't tell them anything because they were tired.
Mm-hmm. So that means they rested. Would that have been Shabbat?
No. No, Sunday.
No, Sunday.
Oh, but the Rebbe asks if we should say that it was Sunday. And they only traveled a very short distance, which is also a question exactly whether the distance from Rephidim, where they came from, how far was it? But a short distance, and they had a whole Shabbos to rest. Why were they so tired? Why are they so tired? And why is it that Hashem couldn't say anything to them? Especially as we know that when you anticipate something, no matter how tired you are, you know, you have an adrenaline rush, and you get all excited about it, and you're not tired anymore, and you're ready to work, you know. A lot of times I wonder how the Rebbetzin keeps on going without sleep, you know. I mean, I don't know how she does it, but I guess if you have an experience of real joy or something in there, so you don't feel you're tired anymore. And when you want something very strongly, or you're happy about something, you put your tiredness aside. You know, they're tired. So, when the Jews achieved and they came to the mountain, so how come they didn't say anything? Yes, so what were you going
to
say?
Because the fifth command, the fourth commandment is to observe Shabbat.
Yeah.
And they hadn't gotten the commandment yet.
Oh, that's a good question. But actually, it's brought down that Shabbat they were told earlier.
Oh, okay.
Because if you noticed, it says in the Ten Commandments, it says, keep the Shabbat as God has commanded you. What do I mean, commanded you? Because already more, they got some laws of Shabbat before. So there was a little bit of a resting before as well. Okay?
Yeah.
So the Rebbe argues that we're not necessarily talking here about a physical being tired. We're talking about actually a spiritual tiredness over here. We're talking about a level, because the Jews went through quite a big achievement. They grew tremendously from being enslaved in Egypt to going to receive the Torah and purifying themselves and reaching it. They went through this transformation that was an emotional journey, a tremendous journey emotionally that really changed around. So in order to become this nation of priests from worshiping idols just 7 weeks ago in Egypt, and from this lower level, so they went a great distance. And so that distance, how do we see that? We see that through this idea that they all were there like one person. So which means what happened at that point, their inner selves or their greatest qualities, their greatest and deepest, profoundest self, who they are, came out at that point. That's why they got along with everybody. That everybody at that time didn't stay in their own selfish or little petty things between themselves, but it's not only that, they all sort of were raised to a higher level than their nature, that they're all standing together. And that is something which is emotionally very, very challenging and very exhausting. It's an emotional exhaustion. So this is what the Rebbe brings out over here. Was the main thing over there is that the Torah, this is a very important part that the Rebbe brings out. You want to say something?
Well, yeah. the tribal degels.
The degel, yeah.
That was, in a sense, defining a unit separate from.
The degels, that the three tribes went under one flag, on one banner, yeah. So, okay, go ahead.
We were unified spiritually, but we had an identity that was somewhat a little different from.
Yeah, but I mean, within maybe that was within those the Degel, those tribes over there. But we're talking about in a general Jewish people sense. Over here, we're saying that all Jews were sort of kiish echad, which means which is this idea that the Rebbe brings down, that we said that all of us, no matter what level you were, you came to the realization that we're all connected to Hashem. Hashem has given us an opportunity all to serve Him. And that level was a very, very important step. It was a very important step. In other words, one cannot remain just with the level of we said we are equal in one level, that we all receiving the Torah of Hashem, we're all connecting with Hashem. What does this mean? Does that mean that we should stay there? That's good for the first day. You know, we start Rosh Chodesh, we're all emotionally exhausted. We get, because it's not about Moshe Rabbeinu telling us something to do. It's our deepest essence that comes out on the first day that unites us all. And therefore, we don't stay there. That's the first day. But as we come closer to Torah, to learn, of course, the scholar has to study more Torah. The person who is able to do more mitzvahs should do more mitzvahs. Everybody has to put in their quality, what they especially can contribute. But
I have a question. So
the
last class I was here, you were explaining that on Yom Kippur, there's a certain energy out there that makes it easier for us to be holy. Is that the same thing on the on
Rosh Hashanah? On a similar level, yes, yes, yes.
So that
on a unifying, on a higher level, a superior,
so there's
superior,
some energy
higher
out there just helping it to happen.
Yes, the maybe perhaps. Perhaps this is also connected to this idea, as the Alter Rebbe explains in this week's portion, in the Likut Torah, this week's portion. He says, "Su'u es roish kol adas Yisrael," which means raise the head. Well, how do you raise the head? So, Alter Rebbe explains that the soul has various different levels. Not all levels of the soul come down into the person, into the physical body. Only a part of the soul comes down into the body. But there is a giant and powerful soul which hovers sort of above the person.
And we're connected to it.
Yes, that's our soul still. But only a portion, a ray of that soul comes down to our body. So there are certain times, like Yom Kippur you said, or there are certain times that we are privileged, like when the Yidden came to Har Sinai, that soul which is above them sort of became apparent in their body as they were there, so they got this jolt of lightning and that great power of that soul that is above them that usually doesn't interact with the physical world, it stays higher, it's above, that it should come down to the person. That makes them all unique together. That creates the peace because there's no more separation. In that level of soul, we're all equal. There's no difference between peoples. The difference of peoples is that part of the soul that dresses up and descends into the nitty-gritty, into the body, into its material sense. So that would be that soul. But the Alter Rebbe says, Su'u es roish, that actually when we do a mitzvah over here with our soul that is connected to our body, we're actually raising that roish, we're actually raising the higher part of the soul as well. So, if you can say it in this way, when we do the work, we raise the soul. But the soul doesn't always come down to us. We are doing for this, all of the soul, when we raise, it's like one connection. It's like if you are raising something, you raise it from the bottom, so you raise the whole structure. So the souls, everything gets raised to a higher level. But sometimes we get a glimpse or we get a, from that soul, that brings about that great unity. Yes?
I heard that it is like 7 levels of soul, right? Level, oh, it's...
In this context, there's 5 levels of the soul, usually we say. But the 7 is the 7 powers of the soul. The soul has 7 emotional powers, and it has 3 intellectual powers. These 10 powers are in each one of these 5 levels of the soul. Basically, those 5 levels are called Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. Those are the 3 parts that come down into the body. The 2 parts that stay above is called Chaya and Yechida. That's what they're called. Those are the higher level of the soul which stays above. So you have the Nefesh. So those are 5 levels of the soul. That is also why when a person is leading the services in the shul for a loved one, they would put 5 candles of light. There's always 5 lights. 5 lights represent the various different levels of the soul, so that's what it will be, the 5 lights for the 5 different parts of the soul. But the special thing that takes place on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and of course this is unique to Rosh Chodesh Sivan, when we came to that special level of to that level that was revealed, and then later on though we had to start to prepare ourselves so that everybody does the best they can. We don't remain on the level of just we're all the same just with that soul. We have to work with the soul the way it's in the body to try to elevate ourselves and become the best we can under our circumstances. Yes, go ahead, you want to say something? Okay. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
But when person passing away, physically die, physically dead, this part of the soul goes up and join to the high level.
So I don't think that it needs to join. It's joined all anyways. It's part of the same soul. It's joining it in the sense that the other part is no longer connected to the body and it's left the body, so automatically it's together with the other part of the soul that it's not connected to the body anymore. But that level of the soul is always connected with its other part of the soul. These souls are connected, they're one soul, they're not a separate soul, but it's part of that soul that comes down into the body, but the rest
it stays on the same
covers
level.
Yeah, but then it goes up, which means goes up means it's no longer tied to the physical body, which was only a part of the soul that came tied down to the physical body, which was that expression of that nefesh, ruach, and neshama that comes down to the body.
But compare this person who was doing something wrong here when he person is alive,
yeah,
and compare this person who holy, who was doing great things for people, for everything. The level of the souls the same or different?
Actually, it's very possible. Yeah, it's very possible that the soul of a person who made mistakes in this world is even in a higher soul than the person that didn't make any mistakes.
If they did teshuva.
Generally, well, if they didn't do teshuva, she's saying, if they didn't do it, they did teshuva. But you have to also realize that it says that a lot of times that the greater the person is, which means the greater soul they have, maybe you're talking about a soul that comes from a higher level, more holier level, such souls, because they're holier, they have greater challenges. Mm-hmm. They have sometimes bigger, they can come, so, you know, they can come from a very holy soul, but still, their journey in this world, when there's by the, they may fail, while the other person is not shy, so does not fail. But that's another thing. Again, that's in the, you know, what were you saying?
My first question came specifically from that. This is, I'm saying, I heard about seven levels. It means when this soul sends again back to do more mitzvah, to
reincarnation. Gilgulim. Yeah.
It's it's doing better and becoming higher level, right?
Yeah, but I'm not sure the number, maybe the number seven is there too.
That's what Rabbi,
I'm not sure about the number seven as far as that goes.
The seven levels of heaven, right?
I was going to give an example. I saw the movie In Our Hand, Bigandenu, about when we finally got the Kotel and the Temple Mount in the Six-Day War. This past Sunday, the 28th of Iyar, was the anniversary of Yom Yerushalayim.
Yerushalayim, yeah.
And the souls, I think, of all the Jews throughout the world connected with the hovering soul.
What day was that?
The 28th of Iyar, which this year came out on Mother's Day, May 13th.
Yom Yerushalayim, yeah.
That was an amazing day. That's an amazing day for all of you.
I mean, after 2,000 years of Jewish government control, was over,
yeah,
our land, our Temple Mount, and our hotel.
Okay, so I mean, that's just a one idea about this day, and then of course, you know, Shavuos is the first day, but then we go and get ready for Shavuos. And one of the things that the Rebbe was very, I want to mention this, that the Rebbe was very pushing very hard, is that everybody should be participating at the time that they read the Torah on Shavuos. The Rebbe especially, you know, the adults, you know, they come to shul, they have a mitzvah to listen to Kriyas Torah, to daven. But what about the kids, little kids, you know, that don't daven, not able, so there's no mitzvahs for them, technically, right? Mm-hmm. But the Rebbe says, no, Shavuos, we need everybody, even children, even babies, infants, tiny babies. I can tell you that the new Chaim Mushka is going to be at the Torah reading. Chani's baby is going to be at the Torah reading. The Rebbe's point was that, first of all, when the Torah was actually given, everybody was there. Everybody was there to receive the Torah. Every year, when it comes to Shavuos, when it comes to the time of the giving of the Torah, we're basically reliving. That's an experience that we have in the Torah once again given to us. So, by right, everybody should be there. But more important The Rebbe quoted the Medrash that says that before Hashem was going to give the Torah, he wanted some guarantee. So you know the old joke that we always repeat on Shavuos is that God was offering the Torah to all the nations and nobody wanted it, and it came to the Jews. And they said, what does it cost? And when Hashem says it's free, they say, give us two. So that's why we have the two laws. But in any event, but Hashem wasn't just going to give the Torah, because again, we have to realize, and this is the point we made before, what happened on Shavuos, the Ten Commandments? So God taught us something we didn't know? We knew the Ten Commandments from before. Matter of fact, we knew all the Torah before. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, everybody studied Torah. They knew all the laws. It wasn't that Hashem, all of a sudden, the Jewish people discovered, oh, there's laws, we're supposed to do this, we're not supposed to do that, and these are the rules. No, that's nothing. That's nothing to do with Matan Torah. Those laws were there way, way, way before that. What did Matan Torah do? Matan Torah built that connection with Hashem. Gave himself into the Torah. Noisin HaTorah, Hashem connected with it. That is what came about with Matan Torah. But Hashem wasn't just going to give it to anybody. Hashem wanted the people to sort of appreciate and make a commitment. And Hashem asked for a guarantor. You know, it's like somebody giving a loan to someone. Then they want to make sure they're going to get paid back. So they ask for somebody to guarantee it. So Hashem says, I'm going to give the Torah to the Jewish people, but who's going to guarantee it?
The heaven and the earth?
They tried everything. They tried the heaven, the earth, and the Jewish people said, look, we had such great parents, we had such great forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they did such wonderful things. Everybody, all the beautiful people, Hashem says that's not good enough. That's not a guarantee. So finally, when the Jews offered their children as the guarantee, they says, our children will guarantee because we will make sure to teach our children that they continue this tradition, that they should follow the ways of Hashem. They'll have an appreciation for the Torah and the mitzvahs, and they committed to this. But the main thing is the parents committed that it's not only that Naseh v'Nishma, we're going to do and listen and do, but they're going to transmit this devotion, dedication, effort. They're going to make sure that their children are the same way, that Hashem accepted. So, if the children are the guarantees for the Torah, it's only by right that the guarantee Torah should be there. And the Torah, while Hashem is giving the gift that he had, and the angels objected to that. They say, Mo enush kisiv kidenu, ben odom kisiv kidenu. Why is man worthy of your remembrance? Why should you count people? They're human beings of flesh and bone. No, they say, why don't you give your glory in the heavens? Give it to us, to the angels. We'll make sure, we'll do the right things. What did Hashem say to them? He says, well, what does it say in the Torah? I took you out of Egypt, but you weren't in Egypt. It says, honor your father and mother. You're angels, you don't have a father and mother. Basically what Hashem was telling them, it's in this physical world in which there is challenges. Angels are good. They're angels, they're agents, servants of Hashem. But Hashem created people with all their frailties, with all their weaknesses, and with all their problems, and yet he wants to shine through that with the Torah, they will sort of rise above their situation and connect to Hashem.
Huh? They will raise their
hands. Yes, and then the Abishter accepted it. So the Rebbe asked that we bring the children to the Torah. Everybody, the little ones, the big ones. And I remember, as I was a student at the time in the yeshiva, and I remember that the first Shavuos, like now outside, it was buckets, it was raining, it was stormy, and you know, of course it's Shavuos, you don't need an Erev, you know, there's no Erev over there, so everybody can come in the carriage, but how many carriages can you bring in the rain, with the pouring rain, you had infinites of a day old. I don't know if a day old. 2 days old, everybody slept in two 770 at the time, wow, to the Red Headquarters. For them to listen, it was like amazing. And ever since, that was the creation of the ice cream party on Shavuos, to be able to make an attraction for the children so that you want to guarantee, maybe we offer them ice cream so they'll come to guarantee the Torah for the rest of us. So that's why we make an ice cream party. It's very, very important that everybody joins, and everybody is there for the reading of the Ten Commandments, the reading of Seres Hadibros, and to listen together in a unified way, and in a way of love and care, and all together, and that will bring down the gift of Torah to all of us, so that not only we study Torah, but the Torah teaches us too. The Torah lifts us up, that not only we take the wisdom of the Torah, but we take Hashem through the Torah, and we become more and better, more connected and better people, and we become Anochi, I, will become your God, Hashem Elokecha, will become, will unite with the people, and that's something which we are privileged, and something that we have as a gift, and we should cherish that, and do the rest we can.
Beautiful.
I was left, and I missed, I believe, first when you started. It means, if I'm correct, how is when all Jewish people, it's all Jewish people.